Amen. For our reading this evening from God's Word, we're turning to the Psalms, Psalm 121. Last Sunday we finished our series in the book of Haggai, so just for this evening we're dipping into the Psalms and we're going to consider Psalm 121 together. Psalm 121, it's a song of ascent, and this is what it says. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Well, if you've got a Bible with you, do turn back to Psalm 121. And as we turn to it, let's pray that God would speak to us. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We love your word because it reveals yourself and your will to us. And we pray that you might show us wonderful things in your law this evening, that we might be lost in wonder, love and praise at your grace towards us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, have you ever been in a situation where you're just completely out of your depth and you needed help? Maybe you've had to ring the emergency services. There was a health problem that was just far too big for you to deal with, or there was a fire that was too big and it needed help in dealing with the problem. Maybe when you started a new job and you didn't know how certain things were done and you just needed a friendly colleague to help you in those first few days in your new job with the new ways of doing things. Maybe in the run-up to exams that have been happening recently, or maybe they were a long time ago for others of us, you asked for extra help from teachers or tutors or parents or friends to help you understand some difficult topics as you were revising. Help is something that we've all needed with all kinds of things. We all have strengths and we all have weaknesses. And so help is something all of us have known and experienced when we've recognized our weaknesses. And maybe you're here tonight and you're keenly aware of the need that you have for help in your life. Things are complex and difficult in all kinds of ways. And so the question for all of us this evening is, where does our help come from? Where are we looking to for help? As a church, we can ask that question. We're small, we might feel frail compared to the numbers of people who are outside the church this evening, and we have great need of help. But where are we looking to for that? Are we looking to what went on in the past blindly, longing for that to somehow help us? Are we looking to men? Are we looking to leaders in the church, past and present, who no doubt have been a help and a blessing in their ministries, but are they truly where our ultimate help lies? Given that they are all imperfect, if they're still with us and they're no help to us at all now, if they're dead. Are we looking to programs, strategies, human plans to bring around a turn around in our circumstances, in our own lives, in our families, in the church? Where are you looking? Where are we looking to for our help? That's a question that we can answer as we spend our time together this evening looking at this 121st Psalm, which you'll see in its heading is a song of ascent. This psalm is one of 15 psalms from 120 through to 134, which are known as the Songs of Ascent. It's a group of psalms that include laments and songs of confidence, hymns of thanksgiving, which were sung by the people of God in the Old Testament on their way up to the temple in Jerusalem. And they're called the Songs of Ascent because Jerusalem was higher. Anyone coming to worship would have to ascend the hill to get there. And so these songs would be sung on the climb up to Jerusalem. And something of that's reflected in verse 1, where the psalmist says, "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from?" Now this seemingly anxious gaze towards the hills could be because they contain thieves and robbers ready to ambush the pilgrims on their journey. Or it could be a longing, a desire to finally reach Jerusalem, to arrive at Zion, the holy city where they can dwell in the temple of the Lord and worship him. Well, both of those thoughts, anxiety or anticipation of reaching Jerusalem, could have occupied the mind of the psalmist. And as only he would have ultimately known, we can take both of those and apply them this evening. And we can do this because we recognize that in this context, as we specifically look at this psalm today, we have a psalm of confidence, not just for then, but also for us now. As the psalmist looks up upon the mountains that surround him, he's reminded that the Lord is the one and only God, the true God who protects and provides. This tells us that the psalmist in some way needs help, that life is surrounded by various dangers and troubles. He knows that he is weak and he is in need of the help and strength of another. He needs help, and the help the psalmist is concerned with is his protection, his guidance, his blessing. And isn't this true of all of us this evening? Don't all of us want to know the protection and guidance and blessing of God in our lives? And so don't we all have to ask and have an answer to the question, where does my help come from? Don't we all need help in some way, shape or form, as individuals, in our families, in our church? And so whatever your problem might be this evening, you can set it in this psalm and ask, well, where does my help come from? And you can do that because here we have a declaration which is intended to encourage confidence. Yes, in those making the pilgrimage to Jerusalem those years ago, but also to you and me this evening, as this successful journey to the city of God, it becomes a parable, if you like, for the whole of one's life as we're making our way to heaven. A life in which the faithful, the Lord's people, can be confident of his tireless care on our journey. And so this evening, I want us to see three ways in which the psalmist encourages confidence in the life of the people of God throughout the rest of this psalm, as he answers his own question in giving us three truths of who the Lord is. And the first is found in verse 2, which is that the Lord is our creator. The psalmist comforts himself with the truth that the Lord is our creator. We read then verse 2, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." As soon as the question arises in verse 1, the psalmist is not worried because he knows where to turn when in need, to none other than the one true living God himself, the creator of the cosmos. He turns to the Lord, the great and mighty Yahweh. That's what that word Lord is saying, the covenantal God who has promised and is always true to his promises, who is committed to provide help for his people. So the only source of help comes from the Lord, who as creator has unlimited power. He is sovereign over all things. He is stronger. He is superior because he alone is God. But the fact that God began all things, as Genesis 1 tells us, isn't half of what the Bible teaches about him being the creator. Well, of course, he is that. But because he is the creator, he also maintains all things in its existence. He controls all things. He directs them to the end that he has appointed. Simply put, God is always in full and complete control of the world he has made. Nothing falls outside of his care and his attention. And the psalmist here recognizes this. He knows who his God is, the great, majestic King of the universe, the great and awesome God, as Nehemiah prays in his prayer in Nehemiah 1. And that realigns our thinking, doesn't it? Because I wonder, is this the God that you know and worship this evening, the great and awesome God, a God who's big enough to handle all the challenges that you face, a great God full of goodness and mercy and power? We could illustrate that in so many ways, but just one to show the immense power of our God. I could have asked this question to the children this morning, I suppose, but it's estimated that there's over 1 billion trillion stars in the universe at the last estimate. And I was reading about one star in the universe that's so big that you could fit 7 quadrillion Earths. And you can ask someone else later how many zeros that is. 7 quadrillion Earths inside this one star. Which is mind-boggling, isn't it? That's just crazy numbers. They're too big for us to get our heads around. And yet that's just one of the billion trillion stars in our universe, which God has spoken into existence. And he upholds it, and he maintains it. What awesome power, what mighty strength our God, the creator of the universe, has. But then in contrast to the vast universe which he's created, he also maintains us small specks as our hearts beat 115,000 times a day. And 50 million of our cells die and are replaced in the time it's taken me to tell you that fact. Our God is so wise. He's so powerful. And this radically readjusts us from any sort of thinking that we know better than God, as we can sometimes sound like that. Or we pray like we're advising God or suggesting things to God. Because when we think about God or we come to pray to him, we're talking with and we're coming to the awesome God of heaven and earth, who maintains and controls and directs all things and is infinitely bigger and greater than any one of us and anything we find in this world. This is who our God is. And here the psalmist sets out that the Lord, his God, our God, the God of the Bible, the God that we love and believe in and follow, is the almighty, the all-powerful God of the universe who creates and maintains and controls and directs all in his creation. This is an amazing context within which we can view our lives that are often complex and problematic. It is a great encouragement. It is a comfort at any time in our life and in every circumstance to know that, well, whatever happens in this world is going on under the rule of the mighty King. That's helpful to be reassured of this evening, isn't it? In the light of wars going on in Ukraine and Israel and Palestine, in Sudan, in Myanmar, in the 110 armed conflicts going on in our world this evening, and we just can't understand the ongoing inhumanity against humanity. It saddens us when we see such reports on our news, and there are those we never get to hear about, and it can cause us to worry. But it is a real and a tangible comfort to know that our God is infinitely bigger and greater than us and anything that we find in this world. Every threat that comes to the surface, every trouble that appears, every journey that is made occurs in his world where he reigns supreme, which means we need not be afraid, but rather we should be filled with confidence. That's why I wonder, friend, if your confidence is in the Lord this evening. Do you think that you're just a random collection of atoms with no inherent meaning or purpose? Or do you believe that you were made but deliberately by the one true living God, the maker of heaven and earth? Do you trust in this all-powerful God of creation who is upholding and sustaining all things this evening? Is this your God? Is your faith in him or in random chance and nothingness? If you're a Christian, then you know that when you come to trust in the Lord, well, nothing is ever the same again. You have a newfound confidence that doesn't mean that your problems disappear, but that you need not be afraid because the Lord is on your side, the maker of heaven and earth. And such confidence can be yours this evening as you trust yourself to the Lord God Almighty, as you put your faith in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you do that, you can have confidence. And that is why then, in the rest of the psalm, we have this great theme developing of the Lord's protecting, his helping hand on our lives. 6 times we find this phrase, watches over, or maybe your Bible says, will keep. And that brings us on to the second way the psalmist here encourages us and fills us with confidence, as we're reminded that God is a God who cares, that the Lord is our guardian. And that's the second thing I want us to see this evening, that the Lord is our guardian. Not only is he the maker of heaven and earth, but he's also the maker of you and me, of human beings. And he hasn't only created us and left us and the rest of the world to just unwind, as some would suggest, but he is a God that cares. The Lord is intimately involved in the lives of his people that he has created. And so that's why again and again, in verse 3 and 4 and 5, twice in verse 7 and verse 8, we read again and again of the Lord as one who watches over you, who watches over Israel, who watches over you, who will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. He will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And that repetition here in these verses really emphasizes and underlines in no uncertain terms that the psalmist's praise of the Lord is one who cares, that God is our guardian. That though there will be perils that to us can often be unknown, the ultimate security that we have in the Lord is certain. And the psalmist expands on that thought in 2 ways in verses 3 to 6. One way is that the Lord provides a constant watch over his people. As verse 3 tells us, he will not let your foot slip. Here the psalmist is confident. He is certain that God will give them a sure and a steady footing on the path of life. He will not permit them to slip or to slide or to fall as they make their journey on the path that leads to life. The Lord is concerned about our feet and our walk. And so God watches over every step of his people, that we might continue on, even when we feel like we're struggling, that we will continue on our journey to heaven. And he does this and can do this because, as verse 4 tells us, he will neither slumber and nor sleep. So even while we sleep, when our heads hit the pillow at whatever time, or we have an afternoon nap, the Lord is watching over us because he does not go to sleep. He does not slumber. There's an emphasis on his watchfulness here, as many of the pagan gods of the day of the psalmist that were worshipped, they were sometimes thought to be sleeping. What kind of God is that? But the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings is unlike any other God. The God of the Bible does not need to eat or to sleep. He is always there. He is constant. He is always able to help. And as he is alive and sustains us day by day, we can have great confidence. There's no need for the changing of the guard, like what goes on outside Buckingham Palace at certain times of day, and the tourists gather to watch when a new guard of soldiers comes in to take over from the old guard in the duties of guarding the royal residence of the king and his family. Well, the Lord is not like that. There's no changing of the guard. He doesn't nod off, as maybe some of us did this afternoon on the sofa. He ensures our eternal security and safety. Nothing will ultimately harm us. And so whether we're at work this week or we're at home, whether we're awake or we're asleep, the Lord is there to help us and to protect us. He goes before us in ways that sometimes we're not even aware of the way that he keeps us in this life, that we might make it to the one to come. And the guarantee comes in a small reference to Israel here in verse 4. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And we read in the book of Exodus that Israel is the name of the Lord's firstborn son, who was kept safe on that night of divine judgment when all the other firstborn in Egypt perished on that night of Passover. They found shelter and security under the blood of the lamb that was daubed on those doorposts of their houses. And so, in effect, here in this psalm, Israel
as Alec Motier has helped me in realizing, Israel is a reminder of the Lord's work of redemption, as if to pose and answer the question, could the Lord, who redeemed his people, promising at the same time a goal to their pilgrimage in the promised land, fail to bring them there, or forget them while they journey, or prove unfaithful to his blood guaranteed promises? You see, in this word Israel, all of that is packed in. Here we've got an appeal to the faithfulness of God in his dealings with Israel, in bringing them up out of slavery in Egypt. We have a guarantee of our security, because will not God, who has redeemed his people, continue to then keep them? Well, how true then this is for us when we think on how Christ has redeemed us. If God the Father has not spared his own Son, but given him up for us all, will he not also be faithful and protect us and keep us while we are here on earth? Will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? The Lord provides a constant watch over his people. We are his and he is ours and he will keep us. And so the Lord, he faithfully watches over his people. But the second way the psalmist speaks of the Lord as our guardian is by using this image of shade in verse 5, when he says, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. The Lord is at our side to shield us from all harm. This doesn't mean that we will never feel pain, but that whatever comes against us will not ultimately destroy us. They cannot bring us ultimate harm, because the Lord provides the shade that we need. And we know that shade protects us from the harsh and harmful effects of the sun. Admittedly, it's not too often in the tropical country in which we live. But that's why, when the sun does come out, we might choose to sit under an umbrella when we go to the beach, or we sit in the back garden to keep us cool. And it's in the same way that God is our shade. He is a shade that protects his people. Not only that, but neither will the moon. God is on 24-hour watch over his people. He protects throughout the day and the night. And so imagine with me that you're in northern Africa. You're in the middle of the Sahara, and there's nothing for miles around. There's no shade to be found. There's no Bear Grylls. There's no Ray Mears to come and help you survive in this scenario. In the day, there'd be no escape from the searing, burning sun beating down on your body, and you'd endure that all day. But then at night, because there's no cloud in the sky in the desert, there's this really sudden drop in temperature, which isn't only uncomfortable, but it's also really unhealthy. And you now become too cold. And if you haven't got a blanket or something to keep you warm, you're going to be in trouble. If we were in that situation, well, we wouldn't last very long at all, would we? And so that helps us to understand that for us to survive both day and night, we would need shelter. It's vital that you would find a hiding place from the extreme elements that could harm you in order to survive. And it's in this way that the psalmist pictures God as this great shelter, the shade that protects us in all circumstances. The psalmist and we can have confidence because the Lord is constantly protecting him and us from all kinds of danger, whether by day or night, heat or cold. No matter the changes in your life that you might experience, the Lord our God, our Father's presence by the Holy Spirit provides all that we need. The hymn writer Augustus Toplady put it like this, which we'll sing to close in a little while. A sovereign protector I have, unseen, yet forever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. He smiles, and my comforts abound. His grace as the dew shall descend, and walls of salvation surround the soul he delights to defend. I wonder, is this the God that you believe in this evening? Do you have a sovereign protector? Is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, the one who proves in the most supreme way the keeping care of our God, that he's given the best for you, that he's died that we might live. And he will watch over us through this life, however long we might have left of it, that we might live for him and with him, full of assurance that we are his, brimming with confidence that we need not fear, need not worry, but that we might rely on him to know his blessing. The psalmist has got great confidence in his God because he's the creator, he's the maker of heaven and earth, and he is the guardian. He's the one who protects and helps and guides. That's what we see here in these verses. But there's one more thing, thirdly this evening, that the psalmist is confident of God's blessing. He's assured of his future because our God preserves us. The Lord is one who is perpetually keeping his people. And so thirdly this evening, I want us to see that the Lord preserves us in verses 7 and 8. And as we come to the end of the psalmist continues this theme, really, of God is the one who's watching over his people and keeping them. But it's just a slight difference in the way that the psalmist, instead of, he's not just talking about the present and today, but he's also got an eye to the future. He's looking forward. The Lord is our guardian today, and he keeps us today. But here now at the end of the psalm, the thought is one where he will continue to keep us to the end. The Lord will preserve us. See that in verses 7 and 8. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. The Lord is present to keep and deliver his people, both now and forevermore. It's a wonderful way the psalm concludes, isn't it? All believers everywhere can be comforted by the fact that they can be assured of the Lord's care on all occasions. The psalmist was confident that the loving care of the Lord would never end, but it would go on forever. And this same confidence should be true of us today if we're trusting in the Lord, shouldn't it? That's why Peter wrote in his fifth chapter of his first letter, "Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." In every area of life, all of our activity, our very essential being is cared for by the Lord, our protector. Our daily activities, our comings, all of our goings, amidst the busyness of our life, they are watched over constantly. For all time, we are being preserved by the Lord God, who is our creator and our guardian, both now and forevermore. That's good to know, isn't it? This week, with whatever it holds for you. Maybe you're waiting for that doctor's appointment. You've got those scans coming up, those tests at the hospital. As you're waiting on those exam results that will come in the months ahead. As you're concerned for your family members about this issue or that situation. As you care for your children or your grandchildren or you're caring for your parents. The Lord is watching over you now and always, and as you cast your burden on him, he deeply cares for you. Because the Lord is our guardian who preserves us. Anyone who trusts in him will know that they will be under the great plan and preservation of the Lord, which guards against all that is ultimately bad, because there is nothing to which the loving care of the Father does not reach. There is nowhere that the providential love of God does not extend. And we might sometimes struggle with this and think, but there are things that harm us, and there are things that are evil, aren't there? And I understand where you're coming from. But again, these promises are not saying we will never break a bone, or that we will not find ourselves emotionally broken over a situation, but that in all things, by his grace, the Lord turns into good those things that we think bring us harm. And that's a big statement to make. That's a difficult thing for us to get our heads around, but we can illustrate it with the words of Joseph in Genesis chapter 50. He'd been sold into slavery. He'd faced false accusations. He'd spent time in prison, all because of his brother's original intention to bring harm to him. But he was able to say, well, you intended it to harm me, but God intended it for good. And how similar is Paul when he writes to the church in Rome that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. And of course, this doesn't mean earthly comfort, but it is instead talking about becoming more like the Lord Jesus, drawing closer to the Lord, bearing good fruit in our lives. Ultimately, it's speaking about our glorification, the ultimate and perfect stage of our salvation, when we are completely like Jesus, when we receive those imperishable bodies at the return of Christ. And so you see, friends, that this psalm, it was a reminder to the ancient reader and to us today, reading this psalm in 2024, that God watches over his people as they journey on through life. For those then, as well as for us this evening as Christians, the Lord is not only watching, but he's actively protecting, guarding, and keeping his people from all evil and harm. And although it is true that Christian people will experience all sorts of persecutions and pressures and trials, it also remains true, doesn't it, that even the very hairs of your head are all numbered, because we are a kept people. I wonder, do you believe this evening? Do you really believe it? Is your faith in the Lord as the one alone who can do this? There was a dear brother in our previous church who is with the Lord now, and he was an encourager. And you know how he would always, always reply when I asked him how he was? I'm being kept. I'm being kept. That's what he used to say every time. I'm being kept. What a wonderfully biblical outlook on life this man had. And he knew the Lord was keeping him, and his health was failing. He lost his wife in the last few years. But without fail, every time I spoke to him, never a complaint, never a grumble, with simple gratitude to the Lord for his care, he'd just say, I'm being kept. And he was kept to the end. And that's your testimony this evening, brothers and sisters. Every Christian can say, I'm being kept. I'm being kept, and I will be kept. The Lord will preserve me. He will help me. He will lead me safely home. He will keep us as a church fellowship. In the weeks and months to come, we must only, always, ever be looking to the Lord for our help. We must be fully reliant upon him for today and for tomorrow. Nowhere else but to him, who has loved us and has washed us from our sin. It's this confidence the psalmist had that can be bolstered for us, because we're living now after the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus and his death and his resurrection, after he lived a life of total obedience, died on our behalf, rose again from the grave. And it means that our preservation is certain, because as Paul says later on in Romans 8, neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, and neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can sever God's people from his love in Christ. He will never let us go. He will hold us fast in all circumstances, because Christ has died and risen again to bring us to God's. And if we're trusting in the Lord this evening, then we will forever be kept and protected by the Lord, our Creator, our Guardian, the one who preserves us. It's guaranteed for us. It's ultimately realized in Christ, because he's come and dealt with our sin. He's died so that we might live. Our sin's been nailed to the cross, and we bear it no more. So we come with the praises of our soul this evening. We can know that we will be kept. We will be preserved. Because of our wonderful Redeemer, because of Jesus, because he has lived a perfect life, because he has died and risen again. And because of this marvelous truth, we can say with absolute certainty, with complete assurance, with certain hope, that our all-sufficient God will keep us to the end, because he's sovereign, because he will always provide, and because he is good. And so as we close, I've got to ask you, where does your help come from? Are you trusting in the one true living God, the Creator, the Maker of heaven and earth, the Guardian, the one who protects us and keeps us, the one who will preserve us, the one who's not spared his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you can know your sins forgiven and be right with him and have the confidence of the psalmist that he will be kept to the end because of his sovereign goodness? Or are you still looking to yourself, to your own strength, to your own abilities to see you through? Stop relying on yourself this evening, but come to the Lord Jesus and put your faith in him tonight. And if you have, well then, Christian, take great comfort, won't you? Take this great comfort we find in this psalm. Take living hope and fresh encouragement with you into this week, because here again, see something of who your God is. He's the creator, he's the guardian, he's the keeper of your soul. And I trust this, when we go into this new week, appreciate afresh, and ultimately you will personally know for yourself the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who will not let your foot slip. He will protect you and keep you. He will be your shade, and he'll keep you from all harm, both now and forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word to us this evening through the psalmist. We thank you that you are an all-sufficient God who will keep us as our creator and guardian, the one who preserves us through every circumstance, both now and forevermore. We thank you that because of Jesus, we can be confident that we will never be separated from you because of the amazing love he displayed in going to the cross for us. Help us, O Lord, as we go into this new week to trust you, maybe even for the first time, to trust you with our lives as our sovereign protector. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.